Well, now that ought to hold us for a while.
I went over to Wilson yesterday morning. They have new teeth.
Yeah.
They got over there in the doggone Greyhound bus. It took them right along on down to Miami. They didn't stop to leave them there to Wilson.
Well, what happened?
Well, the bus didn't have any passengers to get off, and he just kept right on going. Never stopped to leave the package.
Well, that burned.
So I didn't get him yet. So he said that when they get him back there, he'd give me a ring. And tell him.
Yeah.
And he said, he's got a little woman there that I think she lives down at Dunellen, I think she told me. And he says she's a real good assistant and good at making teeth.
Yeah.
So he's going to open a laboratory of his own right there and make the teeth right there. You see, the fellow up north that made this teeth that I got, he pulled the back ones.
Yeah.
Well, then when that healed up a little bit, well, he took the impression and made the teeth. Well, then I went over and he pulled out these six teeth in front and slapped it right in.
Yeah.
So.
Well, now, did these come from up north?
These that I'm wearing. But the ones that he gets them made in Jacksonville.
Yeah. And sent them over by bus.
Yeah.
Oh, that's,
you see, they was there a week ago. The teeth was there. But they didn't fit to suit me, nor they didn't fit to suit him, see?
Yeah.
So he, I don't know what they call it, whether they call it diagnose or what, but he, or prescribed, maybe that's the best word for it.
Yeah.
And sent him back, see?
Oh. Well, I didn't know they did that. I thought they made them right there.
No.
Now, the dentist used to make them right there in the office when I got them. But they don't do that now.
No, they have these big laboratories where they make all them teeth. You know, you go up to Carolina, you know,
yeah.
And they've got a big laboratory up there that, boy, I guess,
oh.
It runs 24 hours a day. They
yeah.
never shut it down.
Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Eastman?
drank it. That's the rottenest taste of stuff that you ever drank. I did that about 3 days in a row. And I want you to know that done me more good than any doctor could ever do.
Well, how did it affect you?
It just, by golly, it just relieved me.
You mean you were hurting?
Yes, I was hurting. Yes, my fella, I was hurting.
You're hurting all over.
That's right. From my knuckles, my hips, all the way up my back, both sides.
Oh. Well, you was really down in the back then.
I sure was. But 3 days, it was all over.
Now say that again, Cookie. You had an eggshell.
I took an eggshell, put it in the oven, and baked it, burnt it, got it brown,
yeah.
Just a chocolate brown.
Yeah.
Put it in a pint of water in a stew pan and boiled it. I don't know how long it boiled, probably 10 or 15 minutes. Set it off and let it cool and drank the remains.
Just drank it down.
Strained the eggshell out and drank the remains. And now that'll do the work.
But it didn't, it was, it had, the taste of it?
Oh my gosh, I can't explain what it tastes like.
How'd you know about this?
Yeah, where'd you get a hold of that?
My grandmother on my mama's side.
Oh.
That was her old-fashioned kidney remedy.
Is that right? I never heard of that.
Grandmother on your mother's side.
That's right.
Do you know her?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. She's not been dead but about. Let's see, she died in 56. Grandpa died in 53. No, she died in 58. And Grandpa died in 53. But that's what she always used for kidneys.
I'm gonna remember that.
I never heard of it. How'd you remember those things?
They just come to me. You can't remember everything. But let me tell you, whenever you get to hurting like I was hurting, you'll start thinking.
And you knew it was your kidneys?
No, I didn't know it was my kidneys. But I felt sure it was. I didn't know for sure, but I felt sure that it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that wouldn't do me no harm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And boy, it hit the spot.
Well, now, what happens to me, Cookie, when I get to feeling get down a little bit, you know, they start, when I go back up that office, they start thinking I'm playing off or something, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody just can't go around telling everybody just how he feels and what the medicine he's taking. You know, you just don't do that.
No.
So they just got to think. JJ never comes around and say how you feel and how your symptoms, does he?
No. He used to come around and say, well, I want this car out today. He never asks you how you feel, if you feel like doing anything. No, sir. All he's looking for is that next automobile to roll out.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you. I'll have a new boss man after the 1st of April. First day of April, I'll have a new boss man.
Who's taking over?
George Bradley. He used to be a used car manager for Crane Lincoln Mercury.
Yeah.
So he's coming to Bradenton. Well, he's already there. And as of the 1st of April, that's the end of Bradenton's physical year. JJ will go to over in the new car sales or this leasing firm. See, Brazington also has a leasing firm. They lease cars to different companies and so on and so forth. And he will go into that field. But he'll leave the used car department altogether.
He's been there a good while, hasn't he?
He sure has.
That's a pretty hard job too, isn't it, Cookie?
It's brain racking, yes sir. Because you got to have your mind on a million different things at one time.
Yeah. And you got to please all these fellas that come in there looking for something.
That's right.
I don't see how to do it. George, what's your name?
Bradley.
George Bradley. Now you know, you work for him. Or with him or something.
I've known of him. I haven't worked with him. But I've known of him, and he's a real nice fellow.
Mm-hmm.
He don't ask nobody to do anything that he can't do himself.
He knows more about the machinery than J.J.
Yes, my fella. He's a good... he really knows a lot about automotive.
Had you rather work for somebody that the head man that knows about it?
Yes, sir.
Makes it simpler on you.
That's right. He knows what to write down. You know what to expect out of him. He knows what to expect out of you.
Yeah.
Well, J.J. don't know nothing about one.
You remember that yellow paper you brought out here with that work order on it?
Yes, sir.
I wish you'd picked me up two or three of them. I think that was just out of this world. I can remember some of the things on it.
I can't too, but I can't remember it all.
That was just dad burn. I'd just give anything for that. Just love to see it every now and then.
Now that was that's what I had to work with.
Yeah. Well, you pick up some of them before it's too late. I want them.
Okay.
I just want them to keep them around. I just lay them out here on the on the you know on the.
Remind
dressing.
Them all the things you had to do.
I think I emptied my pockets out and put them in my toolbox. See, I keep all that stuff.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
Well, keep some of it. Just pull it down in your toolbox.
I keep it all, see, because I never know. They may sell a car today, see.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And J.J. will write me out an order to do this and do that and do something else. You know what I mean. Okay, I'll lay that in my toolbox.
Yeah.
Tomorrow they may bring the car back in. The customer may bring the car back in and want the same thing done over again.
Oh,
which, you see, that involves company time, company money, because they've got to pay me to be aggravated with them. And I can go to my notes and looky here, I just done that yesterday. I keep that stuff.
You just can't believe nobody anymore, can you?
That's right. It ain't no use to they won't take your word for nothing. You got to show them in black and white. That's right. In the past 3 months, I have been offered 3 service stations. But they couldn't run fast enough to give me one to keep.
A service station?
A service station. There's too much headache.
Oh, really?
Well, you can't satisfy everybody, but you got to try it. You got to bend over backwards and satisfy everybody.
Yeah.
And some people just can't be satisfied.
You right there facing the public.
That's right.
Right where they can get at you.
That's right. Where up there where I'm at, if I get tired of them, I can butt them off on J.J. And if J.J. gets tired of them, he can butt them off on the salesman, see?
Yeah.
So we can kick them around and get a breather between landings, see?
Yeah.
Whereas if you're out here on a service station, you ain't got nobody to kick them off against. You got to stand right there and take that pounding all by yourself.
Yeah. And you can't sit down, you can't hide, you can't get away from
it. That's right. You got to stay right there. Then it's too confining. For one thing.
7 days a week.
7 days a week. Where up there, since I've got that nigger to working with me, he's real good. Dependable. If I feel like I should take a day off, I can take a day off with confidence and know my work's going to go right on.
Well, you haven't had much. You haven't taken off much.
No, not too much. I should have taken off more than what I have. But I want you to know that when I was up until, well, say Christmas, if I made it home, I was lucky. Because
mm-hmm.
I was give slap out.
Mm-hmm.
I was just give completely out. I'd go in and make it to the living room and sit down, and that's where I stayed. And lots of times they brought my supper to the living room for me. They brought my plate to the living room and put it on a TV table.
Yeah.
Sure have. Lots and lots more nights.
I'll tell you, the last time I saw you where you looked fairly happy, that was that Sunday night after Thanksgiving when you all dressed up and came over here and you're going to make that tape. You all look right healthy and cheerful.
Uh-huh.
And that's almost the last time, and I was wore out then. I couldn't have made a tape then.
We was give. After that, I started going downhill, losing weight, and I took a cold.
Yeah.
I believe I took a cold just
yeah.
the next day or so.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, it hung on and hung on. Until this cold snap and it broke it loose. This cold snap
uh-huh.
broke it loose.
Yeah.
I believe what happened. I don't know whether it does or not. But it must be the cold. It got so cold that it kind of killed everything and
yeah.
And fought it back.
Could be.
Yeah.
But I just kept taking cold. Kept taking cold. I never did get over that. Never did. And Laura, she got the same way. She
yeah.
never did get over it. Then Frank, it's very seldom that Frank ever gets a cold or gets sick.
Yeah.
Now that boy missed 3 days of school.
He did.
He sure did with a cold.
Mm-hmm.
He just wasn't able. And when he don't get up and go feed them horses,
yeah.
old Frank's sick.
Well, did Laura sort of shed her cold?
Yes. Yeah. She went to the doctor and he gave her a prescription for iron. Well, she took that and it didn't seem to help any. I told Helen when she went to the grocery store, I said, get her a bottle of Geritol tablets. They look just exactly like the medicine at the doctor. She took them. They didn't do too much good. And then she went back and got something else that's prescribed for women. I don't know what it was. But anyway, she took that. And that helped her. That gave her an appetite, and she started eating. And she eats everything she can get her fingers on. The kids had just calmed down and lost her appetite. Just like me, I wasn't eating nothing. I go to work in the morning, drink two or three cups of coffee, go to work, work all day, not eat no dinner.
You mean you work on an empty stomach?
I work on two cups of coffee all day and go home at night.
Well, I couldn't get through the morning without a bowl of oatmeal or cookie. No more than I do every morning.
Well, anymore, I eat my bowl of oatmeal every morning.
Yeah.
It ain't. I just can't make a day. Undoubtedly, that is the best. That is the best starter that anybody could eat. Is oatmeal.
Yeah.
That girl of mine, Becky, she won't go to school unless she got oatmeal for breakfast.
Sort of lines your stomach, makes it warm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
that. Lines your stomach, makes you warm. Well, Mother really enjoyed that tape.
Oh, I thought
we had it ready to give to you all.
Well, now listen.
We got it, you know.
Faye, I want to tell you something. I didn't have the money to buy a chair.
Of course, you can't play. No, it won't do you any good unless you have the.
But I just didn't have the money to go.
Well,
buy.
I know it, and they're right expensive.
I didn't want to.
They're just taking it up there. If you couldn't take something to play it on.
But Helen's mom and dad was down in the dumps about it. They didn't even want to hear them sing this time.
Is that right?
Have just given up.
Why could
they? They have just absolutely just throwed up their hands. They don't care one way or the other.
No, that's too bad. So.
That's why I put my telephone back in.
Is that right? So you could talk to them?
No. Well, I would get a call just any day.
Oh, really?
That's just how bad she is.
Oh, that's John's mother.
John's mother.
Is she not able to work? To do a little work?
No.
She's not.
She's not able. No, she's lost control of everything.
Oh, she has. Yeah.
I mean.
And how is he? Is he too? Or is he?
He's crippling. He's got arthritis in his hips so bad he can't hardly get up and down.
But he has to kind of have to wait on her then.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right,
Y'all take a...
I've been in town running errands all evening.
Tip around the barn.
Yeah, you take a tip around the barn. It's chilly out there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been getting chilly all... Well, since about 2:30, I could notice it getting a little chilly.
I miss the weather tonight. What did it's not going to hurt much tonight.
I didn't hear no report at all.
Or something like that. What does that? What's that old tractor you run across, Cookie?
It's a Farmall H model.
Yes. Well, now those models.
It's a 51 H model, 1951.
Yeah. Now some of them are so heavy. They're just like a caterpillar.
That's the way this one is.
Yeah.
It's a big one.
Yeah. Well, they are sure will pull.
That's right.
We get out and look around for some more. Little equipment. Go to auction. Except the auction, they don't have that.
Well, I'm going to quit working on Saturday morning. See, I got a little raise. 2 weeks ago. 10 cents on the hour.
Well, that hurt, hasn't it?
And I'm going to quit working on Saturday morning. That way I can still take home about $100 a week.
That'll buy you groceries.
Just about. We spent $90 last week for groceries.
Cookie. In a week?
We sure did.
At one time?
No.
Give Cookie a match face.
I got. No, I got. I went and bought. I bought $46 worth of Panther Pride. Come home and Helen said, "Where's the rest of them? Is that all you got?"
Right.
I give her another two more $20 bills. I said, "You and Laura go get the rest of them." And lo and behold, she come home broke.
Yes, sir. I never saw anybody buy that many groceries. I'm just going to hang around up there some.
It takes two carts to wheel them out to the car.
You know, if you pack them right in them bags, one cart will hold a lot of groceries, Cookie.
I know.
I've seen it done. Now, you can just throw them in there. Yes.
But, let's see. I bought meat. I bought beef. I bought pork chops. I bought chicken. What else did I buy? Bought bacon. And then flour and sugar and coffee and meal and grits and cake mix and lunch meat. And that's the fact the kids lunch during the week.
Yeah.
Tuna fish. And peaches. Had them peaches on sale, four cans for a dollar.
Mm.
Four cans, big, great big cans for a dollar.
So you stock up?
Yeah. Well, I got eight cans, and I'll bet there's not four of them left yet.
Yeah.
Because when we open one, we got to open two. Because I don't go around. And something else I bought was on sale. Yeah, bought frozen vegetables, broccoli and mixed vegetables. And something else. I bought eight of those packages of frozen vegetables. And I bought some liver.
Yeah, just adds up.
That's right. It just adds up. Then Helen, she went back. She bought eggs, milk.
Now you go up there and you buy meat on your own responsibility.
Yeah.
You don't just buy what Helen tells you.
No.
You buy, you work it out yourself.
Well, you saw an authority on meat, aren't you, Cookie? Don't you? You know about meat.
You butcher.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you and Mr. Pound butcher over there? Can you save anything?
I've been after him and to butcher a cow or a yearling, but he don't never seem to get time. He's too busy helping the other man. Going to this place for the church, going someplace else for, and seeing if they're getting along all right. And
how you mean?
Well, like his sister. He go down and see if she's getting along all right. And then neighbors out there at the dairy, he'll go out there and see if they got any young calves. He'll buy a couple of young calves and take them home. Mess with them.
Oh. He do it or the boys?
He goes and gets them and the boys takes care of them. Then by the time he does that, his evening, Saturday evening, is done shot.
Yeah.
It's 4 o'clock and it's too late to shoot a beef down then.
You don't have time on Saturday evening, cause time you get home.
If he called me, if I knew he was gonna shoot one down, I wouldn't go home. I don't imagine I'd go to work. Cause I'd go to Alan Fawn's house and we'd shoot that animal down, skin it out.
He hadn't got any that's fat enough to eat. You can't eat them old bony things like them out here.
Well, I'm gonna have one. I'm gonna get me one. Cause me and Frank's fixing us a place to put the colt when we wean her. And it's right across the, there'll be a partition between them and a steer of some kind.
Cause these things out here, they don't, you want a good crossbred steer. That's what got growth in them.
Between a Black Angus and a Bramer is the growthiest thing you can get.
Yeah. Now you see them last little things I got, I don't know who gives $3,450 for them. I mean, I don't know why they would.
I don't either.
Because you'd have to feed them an awful lot.
It wouldn't do any good. Feed won't help them.
Yeah, that's right.
That one, it was just the one that where you had to sell its mammy, you know?
Yeah.
Now that one, you can feed that thing for 10 years and never make nothing out of it.
No. And the other two were sort of scrawny. They were big in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Yeah, good cross breed.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind having a fattening a steer too, you see, on the grass and then feeding them corn.
Then finishing it off.
Finish them off
for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, and you could buy them young.
Sure.
And leave them out there. Or you'd want to buy them 400-500 pounds, wouldn't you?
Not necessarily, Guy. Where you get your best beef is about 500 pounds. When you kill them, it's about 500 pounds. That's where you get your best beef. Is your meat is not dark. It's not real light. It's kind of in between.
Yeah.
So when you go to the market to buy meat, buy that in between.
Oh, yeah.
In between.
Uh-huh.
Color, and make sure that it's got that it's marbled.
Marbled.
It's got little white streaks running through it.
Yeah.
There you get some tender meat.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what made you think Alvin would ever do anything over here?
Well, I thought he might need some help by him having all them cattle and everything. I thought he might need some hay, but he don't want no hay. All of that, all them cattle that he's got up there, no more hay than he hauled away from here. He's got over half of it left. I fed them four horses of mine more hay than he's fed all of them cows he's got running them woods up there.
Uh-huh.
They'd eat more, the cattle would, but he don't put it out there.
Well,
and he always talked to me like he'd like to have some place where he could, you know, kind of help one another. Well, I gave him an opportunity, Guy.
Yes, you did.
Sure, yeah.
It cost me money.
You sure did.
It cost me money. I ain't joking.
You hung around over there, his place there. You even knocked off work to go over there.
I missed work to go over and help him out. And I took my horses out of the pasture here. I took them home and started buying grain for them. Buying grain, feeding them hay. Whereas if I left them down here, grazed them on the millet once in a while, I mean the oats and rye once in a while, I wouldn't have had to bought no grain.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Sure.
Oh, now it looks better. She's been over there, you know, all this time.
And I give him an opportunity to go in there and fence off that temporarily and let his cows get it. But he hadn't done it. That's why I say it's cost me money. I feed 2 bags of sweet feed a week. Cost me $8.80 every week to feed them horses. Plus what hay I feed them. And I ain't gonna let them go hungry.
Well, whatever they get, you gotta give it to them.
That's right.
There's nothing out there now.
Nothing at all.
Well, how's a fella going to know these things, cook here, without finding them out the hard way?
That's the only way I...